Okay. I came from a large family. We had 10 children.
Oh.
And I had 6 sisters and 3 brothers. And had a very happy childhood. Brought up in a Christian home, and I was converted in the Presbyterian Church as a very young girl. My parents were belonged to the Presbyterian Church, and so I knew nothing but going to church and that kind of a life, and most of my childhood. And when I was in my early teens, we had to move to another climate because of my mother's health. So we moved to Trinidad, Colorado. And it was there where I came in contact with the Salvation Army. It was announced in our church that there was a Baptist minister who was holding special services at the Salvation Army. And so my brother and I, out of curiosity, decided to go. And I knew nothing about the Army at that time. And the minister was a Baptist minister, and he was 16 years old, which was made us curious, you know, because he was so young. So we went to the services, and I enjoyed it so much, and really liked the young people, and I never did go back to church, which was made my father very unhappy, but he never was pleased at all about my wanting to go to the Army. But I'm sure that he didn't know much about the Army, which none of us did in our family. But anyway, I continued to go to the Army. And when I was 17, I wanted to become an officer. And of course, my father wouldn't give his consent. So I began to get ready and plan anyway, because I thought that's where the Lord wanted me to work. And so when I was 18, I was all ready to go. And I went without my father's consent, of course, then. And I went to our training school in Chicago. And of course, I was quite young to go, which I realize now more than I did then. But anyway, I went to a training school in Chicago. And went through the training period, which was rather interesting, of course. And then when we were commissioned, my first department was out in Utah. And I now have a granddaughter who is in training here in this part of the country. She and her husband were sent there for their summer assignments to the same place that I had my first appointment, which I thought was rather interesting. And well, I was there for several months, and it's hard to remember a lot of the things that happened during those so many years ago. But then I was sent to Salt Lake Rotan just for a short period of time to assist the officers there. And I used to go up to the mining camps and take collections on their paydays, which was an interesting experience for me as a young woman. But there was quite a distance between these places. They had 3 different camps up there. And I would have to, there was only one place I could stay overnight. And then the rest of them I had to walk back and forth to two of them. But I would go up and then take the collections where they were being paid and then walk back to the place where I... And as I look back over it now, I don't think I'd have the nerve to do that anymore. Because I realize times have changed a great deal since that time. I never felt at all nervous. And of course, everybody knew why I was there, that I was collecting for the salvage money. And nobody ever said a word that bothered me in any way. But I was, then after I would get back to where I would stay overnight, I would feel nervous after I would be in the hotel, because I knew everybody knew that I had collected money and that sort of thing, but nobody ever bothered me. And it was quite an interesting experience. And then from there, from Salt Lake, I was sent to Colorado Springs to assist. And Colorado Springs is an interesting city, which I enjoyed. And I don't remember too much about my experiences there. Been so many years since I'm not thinking about them. But from there, I went to Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I was just a young girl there for a while. And I was also stationed in Globe, Arizona, and Largo, New Mexico. In Largo, I was stationed there during the epidemic of flu, which was a terrible thing at that time.
Do you remember what year that was?
Yes, I'm.
What year was that?
Oh, it's a long, long time ago. I don't just remember what year that was. But I had had taken sick and had an operation, an appendix operation. And during this time, this flu broke out, and then I was in the hospital for a month, but the nurses were all sick with the flu, and there was nobody to hardly wait on anyone. It's quite an experience, and the doctor was so rushed with this flu business. So when I went home, back to my quarters, I was on crutches. I'd had some difficulty with one of my legs. So I was on crutches, and woman that was assisting me, I was in charge at that time, and the woman that was assisting me, she was assisting the doctor with these flu cases. And she would be gone all day, and the neighbors would bring in my food to me because I couldn't do anything for myself. And after a while, we couldn't carry on any work. Everything was closed up tight. You couldn't hold a meeting or anything else. So I went on a sick furlough at home for a period of time. And stayed at home for a few weeks. And then I was sent to Laramie, Wyoming. And that was quite an experience too. And no, that wasn't the place I went to. I went to I can't even think of the name of the place now. Anyway, Fort Collins, I guess it was. And the girl that I was to be with there left them at home. So that they sent me then to Denver. And I was stationed in Denver for some time and carried on my program there. And from there, I went to Laramie, Wyoming. And the girl that was under assist there, she fell out, and I was left in charge.
Yeah.
And I can't, the trouble is in trying to remember the things that happened during those years. It's such a long time ago, not thinking about what happened. But our program is always a busy one, and carrying on our work in the church work. And the Sunday school and all of that sort of thing. So it was an interesting program. And then from Laramie, I was transferred to the west, to Fort Lewis, and that was during the time when the men were coming back from war. And that was an interesting experience for me. I used to go every day down to the discharge center where the men were being discharged and receiving their discharges, and I gave them a token of some kind. I don't even recall just what it was now. But there was a lot of the men that were coming out of at that time, and just at the end of the war. And they were always in high praise of the Salvation Army work during the World War One, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very interesting to meet these different men as they came out and see mm-hmm. their discharges. And then from that appointment, I was sent to Anacortes, Washington. And that was a small corps, and I was in charge there for several months. And enjoyed my work there.
What rank were you at that time?
Big pardon?
What rank were you?
Well, I was a captain. When I first came out of the tennis school, I was a lieutenant.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next appointment is a captain. And I was a captain then. And when I was sent from Anacortes, I don't remember the time that I was in all these different places. I would have to have somebody to show me the different dates. But then I went to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And I was there for a short period of time. And then from there, I was sent to Bremerton, Washington, in charge of the Corps. And that's where I was married when I was there. No, it wasn't until after that. I was stationed there for a while, and then I went from there to the Evangeline in Tacoma. That's a home for, you know, you're familiar with the Evangeline. And I was stationed there for a while. And then I got my appointment to come to California. But during this time, I was keeping company with a young man, and we decided to get married. So I didn't come to California. We were married, and then we were off for about a year, a little over a year. And we lived in Bremerton, Washington at that time. And then my husband was working for the Standard Oil Company. And
so he wasn't in the Army?
No. He was a member of the Army, and he was a candidate for the training college.
Oh.
But we decided to get married, and so we were out just about a year and 3 months, I think. And then we were accepted. And my first appointment was Colfax, no, from Bennington, we went to Portland. We were there for a short time. And then we were reaccepted from, and he went to a, we went to assist in Tacoma at the Corps for a short time. And then they gave us our first appointment at Colfax, Washington. And we were there only a short time. And we came back to Vancouver Hut, where I had been stationed during the war period. So that was, you know, experience for us too there. I'm afraid I'm not telling you much. That's interesting.
Oh, it is. It sure sounds like you moved around a lot.
Yes, I did as a young officer. But from Vancouver, we were there for 3 years in Vancouver. And, of course, we carried on the court program there, the church work, because the war period, of course, was all over by that time. And then we went from there to I have a hard time thinking that now. There's many places.
Sounds like
not Yakima, but Hope, Washington. And that's where my daughter was born, was in...
What year was that?
Huh?
What year was that?
She's born in 1928. So, we were married in 21. And she was born in 28. And we were stationed there for 3 years, and we had a very interesting program. We had a good troop of scouts and girl guards, and we had a very interesting time during that three-year period. And from there, we were transferred to Bellingham, Washington. And that's where my son was born. Now he was born in Washington. And we were there for, I don't recall how long we were in Bellingham. But during the time in Bellingham, we were, not far from Canada then. So we had privilege of going to things occasionally in Victoria, which was quite interesting. One time Colonel Mary Booth was there, and we went up for the weekend, which was an interesting experience for us.
But where was she in the Booth family? What relation was she to
William? She was a daughter of a, let me see, she died of a, she was a, maybe, I'm trying to think whether she's daughter of the founder or daughter of the grandmother, the son. Okay, I can't remember for sure. She must have been grandma's daughter. It's hard for me to get these all things out of my mind. But it was a very interesting, she was a very interesting person. And she was from London, of course, from England. And from Bellingham, we went to I've been to many places that get mixed up in the Grand Oregon. We were stationed in the Grand for 7 years. And I don't recall too much about the Grand. From there we were led to the Oregon. Oh, and then during Medford, and then staying in Medford was during the Depression. And it was a very trying time for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And we ran a soup kitchen for the poor people, and which was sponsored by the Lions Club, I think, financed by the Lions Club. And then every there were so many poor transient people coming to the country, you know, having time to find work. And we had a wood yard where we put them into work for their meals and lodging. And then this wood was used for family welfare. People who, and I visited most all the families who were out of work in the city, which was an interesting experience because it was a terrible situation. People who had businesses just lost everything they had. And, I remember one family, they had owned a large cafe. We used to eat there very often. I knew the family real well. And they just lost everything. Their home and their business. And we finally found out that they'd been living on practically nothing, sleeping on the floor. They'd just taken their furniture and everything. And they'd been living on potatoes for a week, and we finally found out about them. You know, people who have had a lot and they have things like that happen to them, they don't know what to do really.
Oh, yeah.
They're proud and they're not like some people who can go and find a way right away. So we did find out about them and we helped them a great deal. And the daughter came and picked up some food and groceries for them. And we thought we were giving them $1 million really. She was so pleased to get that food. And it was a real bad situation during most of the time that we were stationed in Anchorage. But it was a real experience for us to be able to help the people. And then during this time, there'd been a fire in one of the companies where they had a lot of canned goods and stuff like that in the warehouse. And so they turned over to the Salvation Army all of this food that they couldn't sell. All the cans, they were still good food, but it was not available on the store. So we had all this happen, which was just a godsend, really, because the people needed the food so much. And so they gave it to us, and we had food to give to these people, which was wonderful. But it was quite an experience for us there. And from there, we were transferred to Pocatello, Idaho.
Oh.
So we traveled a great deal over the country in the States. And we were there for 3 years. We had a very nice time. It was a hard place to get used to because it was so hot there in the summertime, but we enjoyed our stay there in Pocatello. And from there we went to Boise, Idaho. We were in Boise almost 7 years, I think. been stationed there for a long time. But the Army does move their officers around quite a bit. And of course, interesting experience wherever we go. And they had a nice time in Boise.
How did you feel about moving around?
Because
how did you feel about moving around?
Well, of course, we know when we go in the Army that we have to expect that. And when you resign yourself to, and commit yourself to this, well, you, it's naturally it's hard to move. It's, you feel it when you have to move. But you know that it's going to happen occasionally. And of course, they don't move the officers so much today as they did in those days, I don't think. But where there's a need sometimes, it may require two or three moves before they can fill that place, you see. So it means sometimes that two or three people have to move in order to fill that position. So you get used to it. And of course, it's never easy, I don't think, to move. I always hated the job of packing up and but you do meet a lot of people and make new friends, and it's interesting in that respect. But I'm afraid I'm not telling you anything else.
Okay. Let's how did moving affect your family? How did moving affect your family?
Well, I think it does affect the family in so much that they always have to go into new schools. And although my children never seem to complain, but it is hard on them because of the fact that they make their friends in one place and they soon have to pick up them and go to another. And sometimes their schooling is so different too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They may be in a real good school in one place and then and have to pick up and go to schools in another. So I think that is the worst problem with families and moving around in the Army is for the children. Because we know that we have to do it and as officers. And with the children is a problem for them, I'm sure. But they all seem to get along all right. But from Boise, we were there a long time, of course, and children really had felt at home, and it was a difficult job for me to move from there. But we went from there to Portland. And that's where my husband passed away.
Oh.
Was in Portland, Oregon.
When was that? What year?
If I could only remember days. I just can't. No, that was 1941 when he passed away. We had gone there in September, I think, of that year. And September, and then he passed away the 18th of December. So that was a real time for us, of course, and that meant that I had to change and take over the Corps until they made some other plans for the program there. So I stayed on until the first of the year, I think it was. Because the original commander wanted me to stay on in charge of the Corps, but I didn't feel equal to it physically.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked him to give me something that wasn't quite such a responsibility. Mm-hmm. So they sent me to Portland for jobs. But I had been well, and I just collapsed afterwards. And I had to take a 3 months vacation. So then we sent two other girls into the John's while I was away. And after I was able to go back to work, though, they did send me back to St. John's. And I was there for about 2 years, I think. And then they sent me to the welfare office in headquarters, in charge of, as the welfare secretary.
Oh.
And that was an interesting experience for me, because, of course, I had done low relief work in the Corps where I'd been stationed, but never to the extent that I had it in this place. And I had charge of all the welfare in the city, you know, as far as the Salvation Army was concerned. And it entailed a great number of things. We had the camp. We had a camp out from Portland. And in the summertime, we always had a camp for mothers and children.
Oh.
Who were unable to have any vacation on their own.
Okay.
And this entailed a great deal of work, which all these families had to be investigated and planned for, and because they all had to have a doctor's examination before they would go to camp, the children. And it really was quite a job to get this. And then, of course, I spent the time in charge of the camp, and had to plan the program for them and keep them busy all the time, and it was a real job. And then they also had a camp for spastics.
Wow.
And that was the most interesting thing I think I've ever experienced in my life.
Wow.
Was that spastic camp. So we had about 15 in wheelchairs, and we had to build ramps into all of our buildings so that they could go in and out, you know. And but they just enjoyed everything so much. They weren't all small children. They were some adults, too, in this setup.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the, but then they had to have either a parent or an attendant with them, because some of them couldn't even feed themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But I never will forget the first meal we had. I have to never forget that. I couldn't eat myself, really, because the scene, and some of them were in bad way, you know, and they were shaky, and of course, they, this is to watch them, I couldn't understand it the first time. But of course, you get used to those things after you're around them, and but they were so eager to be a camp, and enjoyed it so much that it was such a worthwhile experience to have it. And then during the camp time, we would always have something special for the mothers that were with them, or an attendant who happened to be with them. And they weren't all poor people either. In this case, they weren't people who couldn't afford to do it, you know. But it was just such an experience for these people that they just looked forward to it so much. And we'd have something special in the evening after the others were all in bed, and they seemed to enjoy that too. So it's really a wonderful experience. Then I also had times of all the Christmas work.
Oh,
where we had to investigate all the families, and we had a clearinghouse for the community chest, which every name had to be cleared at this clearinghouse. So there was a lot of duplication of families. And then I had to have of the officers in charge of the Corps in the city usually did the investigation, because I couldn't possibly take care of all of that. But all the families were investigated, and where they didn't need to help, well, then they weren't given help, but where they did, they were given the Christmas basket, or checks. We sent checks to them instead of giving them baskets. And one year we had a party for 200 children, Christmas party, and we gave them clothing. And of course you can imagine what job that would be.
Yeah.
I had to investigate these families of these children and get all the sizes and everything so we could buy these clothing. So that was a real job. But it was such a wonderful experience. And we had a little entertainment for them at the party. And oh, they were so, you see the eyes of the youngsters as they saw all those different packages there ready for them. So it was a real wonderful experience. And that was one of the highlights of the Christmas too. And of course, helping all the families was a real privilege to do that too. I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to take too long because my voice is very bad, and it, I guess.